Yesterday we spoke about the need to contact Udipans. Who remembers what is an Udipan? A stimuli. It's something which awakens something in us. Now, while we are here in the material world, surrounded by material elements, mostly the material world will add as a stimuli for forgetting Krishna. And therefore, it is absolutely important that we carefully, consciously bring some stimuli in our lives which can awaken Krishna consciousness to a full, full manifestation. Look at this lamp. It is cold, it is ugly, it is very normal. I will now give a stimuli to the lamp. It's full of light, gives some warmth, and it is fulfilling its purpose, why it was created. We are much like this lamp. If we do not receive daily Krishna-conscious stimulus, we will remain bound to a nature which is foreign to us, which is not our real self. And we will be condemned, really, like a bird imprisoned in a steel cage, to act according to that conditioned nature. We will be a disturbance for us and a disturbance to others. I would like you now to quickly find a neighbor, someone who sits next to you, just very quickly, and discuss with them what stimulus you can import in your life. What can you take with you, in other words, from Giriraj Govardhan, so that you, when you go to the West, are not just, influenced by the material nature, but become influenced by the spiritual nature. Is the question clear? You're surprised that you have to do now something and not just go on the empty mind space. Yes, please don't be surprised. This is natural. This is good for us. Yes, you can come and ask your question here because they are starting. Aha, sorry, I'm sorry. I thought the devotee said he was not present-minded and he could not hear the question. Maybe this applies to all of us, so I will repeat it again. Yeah. Hello, good morning. You are a little mind-exhausted, I can see. Oh. My dear devotees, yesterday we heard about stimulus in our devotional life. We watched or observed how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the forest of Vrindavan, as he saw the trees, he remembered that they had association with Krishna. When he saw the cows, he remembered his previous identity as a Gopal, a protector of cows. He was stimulated. in Puri, he once saw a little boy who was dressed in a yellow dhoti, and he immediately had the highest ecstasy because his remembrance of Krishna was suddenly awakened. So from this point, Udipan, stimuli, we yesterday discussed that most of us have two types of stimuli, the ones we are conscious of when we perceive things, but also the ones we are unconscious of, the inner sanskaras, the impressions which compel us to act. And in this way, because we are really not applying the knowledge of stimuli consciously, but we just are victims to whatever comes our way, we happen mostly to be in material consciousness, even when we are following a spiritual path. So to end this, I was suggesting that we import spiritual stimuli into our lives. For instance, put pictures on, surround ourselves with spiritual things like reading the Bhagavatam and feel really how we are getting stimuli and start to shine and transcendental happiness. So now the question which is there for you to discuss with your partners is, what stimuli could you, and I will use a word from the Balkan, konkretno as possible, import in your life so that you will be awakened and stimulated, even in the West, to a consciousness which you have, which you aspire for, which is dear to you? What could you do? And be as concrete as possible. Like, I will take some dust from here, and every morning at around 6:10, I will sprinkle some dust over my head. Be as precise as possible. And my dear, yes, so is the question clear? Please all do this. I know I have some members who are with us who are not yet fully activated. I see one devotee who is looking ecstatic in his sleep. Hare Krishna. Hare Prabhu. It's very sweet. We should put this on our webpage. The Govardhan Retreat Center is very inspiring. Hare Krishna. So by Krishna's mercy, the devotees didn't notice that I was... We should never do this, what I just did. I will have to fast now the whole day to get rid of the effect of aparad. Good. So please start now. What concrete udipans can you take and apply in your life? You only have 3 minutes and 40 seconds for this exercise. So please be... Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for participating in this reflection exercise. You might like to think about this a little bit more as the retreat commences and progresses, and then later find even more answers to this. I think if we go back to our services and we have many things which remind us on Krishna, and many things which we do that bring us to a more awakened state of Krishna consciousness, then our life will be much more free from the impediments which we often face when we are in the Western world. And as a result, we will be much more connected with Krishna consciousness and be elevated. Fine. Yesterday we also talked about Radhakund and Srimati Radhika and her exalted position, which also makes her place where she associates with Krishna, the place which is the highest in Braj. Radhakund is the highest because of the rasas which are there, the higher amount of rasas. So I would like to now go into the subject matter of today's presentation. Sometimes when Prabhupada was on a morning walk, he would choose the Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg and go, when he came out of Krishna Balaram temple, to the right side. At that time, there were only fields. But sometimes, or one time, a rickshaw came from the opposite direction. And the rickshaw driver saw Srila Prabhupada walking. He got down from his rickshaw, got off his shoes, paid his obeisances, and said to Prabhupada, "Jai Radhe." And Prabhupada was very, very enlivened by this greeting and very happy. And he commented later, "In Vrindavan you will find all the devotees there chanting more of Radha's names than Krishna's names. Wherever you go, you will find the devotees are addressing each other, Jai Radhe. You will find them in Vrindavan. They are more interested in continuing their worship of Radharani." Even in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna worshipped Srimati Radharani. And in this, I would like to tell you one pastime which will set the stage for today's katha. It happened at a place called Kusum Sarova, which I believe we all are very much aware of. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he had identified Radhakund, went further. Krishna Das Kaviraj said, "From Radhakund, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sumanaha Lake. When he saw Govardhan Hill from there, he was overwhelmed with joy." Sumanaha Lake is another name for Kusum Sarova, which means the lake of flowers. Every morning, Srimati Radharani, who was with her gopis, her sakis, on the way to Radhakund for the noon pastimes, which take place from 10:48, would pass by this lake and would pick flowers to be used in the worship of Krishna. They would make garlands, but she would also keep single flowers which she would put in his hair. Her sakis were helping her in this. The whole Kusum Sarova was pervaded with this atmosphere of love in anticipation, because they would soon meet Krishna at Radha Kund. And there was such a strong bhava of feeling of let us please Krishna in the mind of Radha and the gopis, that anyone who came in contact with Srimati Radharani was solidly affected. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the flowers who were there in this lake and around this lake, who had association with Srimati Radharani and the gopis, who were in this mood of meeting and pleasing Krishna, were all so much affected that then in their future birth they all became gopis. This is what he says in Braj Riti Chintamani. This lake is known as Kusum Sarova because of the many blossoming flowers which were destined to become gopis in the future, which grow in its waters. Just see the amount of loving emotions of which spread even to the flowers by Radha's grace, and who are then elevated to the stage of becoming gopis. It's very remarkable, I find this. So once, we must know, whatever Krishna does in relationship to his devotees is made to bring out the love of his devotees. So in Braj, there are many festivals. One is called the Sanji Festival, which takes place in the second half of the month of Kartik. It's a festival where elaborate designs of cow dung are made, and these designs are decorated with flowers which are placed in the doorways of the houses. So once the gopis who were at that time in Vashana were going around Vashana to pick flowers for their Sanji decorations. Very happy decorations, very joyful decorations. But they found out that all the flowers were already picked. So they remembered Kusum Sarova as the lake which has a vast variety of flowers, and they quickly went there to pick flowers. Now Krishna saw the gopis leaving to there, and he had a great desire to spend time, especially with Srimati Radhika. But he feared if at this time, which was not the normal time where he went, he would go, then all his cowherd boyfriends would come along with him. You know, these cowherd boyfriends were so attached to him that when they passed together with Krishna through the forest of Vrindavan and they lost his vision for the moment it took Krishna to move behind one tree and then come out. You know, he disappeared on the left side of the tree and came out on the right side of the tree. That's a split second. That's this short. It's like a nimesha, blinking of an eye. The cowherd boys were so attached to Lord Krishna that they some of them fainted when this happened or lamented greatly. Gopal is gone. No, no, he's come there. He's just passing behind a tree. This was the amount of love the cowherd boys had to him. So if they would see Krishna leave, going anywhere, they would follow him like Krishna's, we say in Germany, like the Krishna's shadow, we would say. So Krishna, no, if I just go now to meet the gopis, I won't be alone. I will be surrounded with all my lively cowherd boyfriends. And therefore, on that day, he feigned to be sick He said, I cannot come out. I'm so ill. You play without me. And that was the day where the Cowherd boys stayed around Nandagram. And Krishna said, I'm so sick. I cannot even see anyone. I just need to rest. So then Krishna got out by a small way and went to Kusum Sarova. But on the way he dressed in an unusual way. He took the dress of a Mali, that is a gardener, and he stuck a mustache on him. Some say he stuck, some others said he just let the hairs quickly grow, and so on. And when he arrived, he saw that the whole of Kusum Sarova, all the banks were full of effulgent gopis collecting and picking flowers for the upcoming Sanji festival. His eyes were particularly searching for one gopi, and finally Krishna found Srimati Radharani. And when Radha was alone picking flowers, he arranged by his that she was stuck with her sari on a thorny bush, and her movement was impeded. She could not turn around. So then Krishna, in the dress of a gardener, appeared before Radha and said, do you need help to unhinge you from the thorn bush? Radha said, yes, 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 yes. Then the mysterious gardener took her hair, which was also caught in the thorny bush, and lifted it up. Now the moment Krishna, in this disguise of a gardener, who was unrecognized by helpless Radha, was touching Radha's hair, a shock like an electrical current went through Srimati Radharani. She turned around to see who this Vanamali really was, because he had such an electrifying touch, but Krishna quickly disappeared. He vanished into thin air. Radha was stunned and motionless. When her gopi friends found her not able to move, they asked her what happened. Radha said, there was a mysterious gardener who helped me by unhooking my sari, which was caught in thorns. But as he unhooked my sari, he hooked my heart and took my heart with him. And I'm bewildered how this is possible, because... And she could not speak any longer and fainted. All of the sudden, the same gardener boldly stepped from behind the trees and saw the gopis and said, oh gopis, you are breaking my flowers from my bushes and my trees. Who are you? So the gopis were frightened and deceived by the unusual appearance of the gardener. And they had heard about his shaktis, his potencies, from Radharani. Radha had said, Radha didn't mention that the gardener touched his her hair. She was too embarrassed to mention that. But she mentioned he unhooked my sari and then he took my heart. They stared at him. The gardener with the moustache very authoritatively asked, "Who are you?" Almost maybe like, yeah, with big authority. The copies were bewildered and they stared at him and they said, "No one, we are no one." So Krishna was so much moved by the innocence and sweetness of this answer that his heart was just melting in transcendental ecstasy. He cried inner tears. And as the gopis shyly looked at him, throwing sidelong glances at him, he felt the lances of Cupid entering his heart, and he was fully bound to his dearest devotees, but he was in disguise and he wouldn't give way of his disguise so quickly. "You are thieves, simple thieves," he said. At this time, by the power of the sound of his voice, Srimati Radharani was awakened from her ecstatic swoon and looked at the gardener, the same gardener who had appeared to her a little earlier. And as she looked very, very, very exactly, she saw a flute stuck next the belt, and she just called out, "This is not a Vanamali," that means a forest gardener. "This is Ban Bihari, the enjoyer of the forest. It's Krishna who enjoys pastimes in the forest." And she was extremely happy because she had been bewildered. How was it that someone else than Krishna had affected her? No one is allowed to touch Radha. How was it that someone else came in, unhooked her? It was the same Krishna in a disguise. So when Krishna saw Radharani blooming with transcendental happiness, he couldn't keep his disguise, seeing so much love that he admitted his defeat by the gopis. Just by standing before them, seeing their a special type of love, which is called smoking and blazing at different various forms of the development, Krishna offered his said, "May I render some service?" And Radharani said, "Yes, you may decorate my hair with flowers," remembering how Krishna had touched her hair earlier when she was stuck in the thorns. But it was clear, before decorating Radha, the flowers needed to be washed. And since this was happening in the afternoon, that is not the scheduled time where the divine couple meet, the sun started to sink in the horizon. And where should they wash the flowers? The Yamuna was a little far away, and it would take too long. Then Krishna said, "No problem." And with his transcendental flute, he made a hole into the ground, which quickly filled with water and became what you see now, Kusum Sarova. Did you know that this lake came from the flute of Lord Krishna? It is wonderful. So the Lord took his flute, dug it in the ground, multi-purpose flute, and it filled with water. And then he washed the flowers, and then he sat next to Srimati Radharani and decorated her hair with the beautiful flowers. It was at this spot of ecstatic loving pastimes between Radha and Krishna, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped and for the first time saw the Govardhan Hill. He immediately offered his obeisances. He fell down on the ground like a rod. The ecstatic symptoms swarmed all over his body like millions of ants. And then as his eyes were covered with tears, he rushed forward to Giriraj and embraced Giriraj as Lord Krishna and became maddened. He became absolutely transcendentally overwhelmed with ecstasy. Then he continued to the temple, not to the deity of Haridev. And before this deity, he chanted and danced in an accelerated way. His ecstasy increased. And I would like to speak about this. Haridev, who of you has seen Haridev? That is not so many of you. Haridev is in the town of Govardhan, and it is very important that we all go there because he's the deity who guards this whole area of Giriraj. He's a self-manifested deity and very special. Once there was a spring Rasa Leela. That's not the autumnal Rasa Maharas. It is a different one. The spring Rasa Leela, which was done in the Govardhan area and spun out to a place called Chandra Sarovara near Paita. It was such an amazing past Rasa Leela or dance performance that Chandra, the moon, watched it from above and was so moved that he fell down from the sky, that's a long way, and crash landed at this place and made a lake. You can see it. It is there. It's nicely kept. So during this Rasa Leela, Krishna again suddenly disappeared. And the gopis were, as we know from the Bhagavatam, and in the Leela where Krishna disappeared, totally beyond themselves with feelings of separation. So they went searching all over for Krishna and came to the area of the Manasa Ganga Lake. This is the Govardhan, where today's Govardhan town is. And they, not seeing Krishna, did what all devotees do when they miss Krishna. They sat together and glorified Krishna. This is what we all do. Our sankirtan, our singing, should be an expression of our desire to be with Krishna. this is how Mahaprabhu introduced the Sankirtan movement in a mood of vipralamba, separation, strong feelings of longing which bring Krishna. So the gopis talked about Krishna. Now when you go through the Bhagavatam and look at the verses which describe the gopis talking about Krishna, they always mention four things they talk about. Can you imagine what the gopis talked about, how they talked about Krishna? What must they have mentioned? What? Different pastimes they had, encounters, meetings with Krishna. Correctly. Correct. And they talked about especially how Krishna glanced at them with eyes full of love. These eyes were always moist when Krishna were with the gopis out of love. They shared about the charming voice. Krishna talks so sweetly to the gopis. Just like the gopis talked when Krishna asked them, "Who are you?" No one. Krishna also talks very sweetly, charming. And then they talked about the way Krishna walks. Krishna's movements are very, very, very Krishna-like. That's the only way we can say. I like this picture there in the back. You can see Krishna and Balaram dancing and see how they lift, how Krishna lifts his leg. Shukadev Goswami describes the kirtan of the cowherd boys, how they glorify Krishna. And it's very interesting how they do kirtan. We hear now about the gopi kirtan, but this is the gopa kirtans. They talk, when they do kirtan, it's sneha klinadhiya. It means their hearts melt with love. Kirtaniyas and kirtan lovers, listen, this is how what you can learn from the gopas. Their hearts were melted with love. It was mahagyan, that is, it was mind. They chanted with mind-astonishing melodies or ragas and very rhythmic talas. So when you do kirtan, your melodies should be astonishing to the mind, so melodious. Sanai, they chanted slowly and gradually. That means the kirtan starts slowly, very slowly, so that it's possible to absorb the mind in the different moods in the kirtan. And then gradually means it builds up gradually, not too fast. Like sometimes we have madanga players and we look in their direction. Now we will switch to another melody, says the glance, and please do something with your rhythm. It should also, now it's a different melody, there should be a different rhythm now, so that there is a break in the atmosphere and a change to another mood in the kirtan. Sometimes when you look at the madanga kirtaniyas, when they are under 18, they accelerate so that it's like a fast Japanese train going from Kyoto to Tokyo. And no, gradually it should build up and naturally. And then tat anu rupani, the kirtan should be, that is suitable for the
occasion. That means the rag is and the song are composed during the pastime to express exactly the pastime. So when the sakas, the gopas, do their kirtan, what I would like to tell you, one of their kirtans is they sit with Krishna, and all of a sudden, Vayu, who is a great devotee in Vrindavan because he always carries the fragrance of Krishna to Radha and vice versa when they are separated. So the wind comes, lifts up the dhoti of Krishna a little bit, not too much, but a little, and exposes the leg, like in this painting. And then the gopas are so much amazed by this that they say, "Wow, did you see?" And they break out in spontaneous song in a kirtan. And then the wind came, and all the gopis go, "Oh, the wind came." And our sakas, sapphire blue leg, which looks like a column, was exposed and startled the universe with its beauty. You know, this is a kirtan according to the occasion, tat anu rupani. So this is how the gopis also sing. Their hearts are melting with love. It's absolutely mind attracting how they sing, because the rhythm and tala is there, and there are all the symptoms of good kirtan there, which was so amazing that at the end their feelings intensified so much that they just began Nam Kirtan, chanting the holy name, and they chanted, "Oh Hari!"
Oh Hari!
Yeah, it was a little bit more with feelings. "Oh Hari!
Oh Hari!
Oh Deva!
Oh Deva!"
Yes, and when they chanted like this, Krishna was unable to neglect the kirtan of his beloved and gopis, and he appeared before the gopis with his flute held in his right hand, and his left hand was raised as he had raised it when he carried the Govardhan hill on his pinky. Pinky means this finger, the small one. He indicated to them his ever readiness to protect him, the gopis, in this case, not from the torrents of Indra, but from the equally painful and threatening feelings of separation. So when Krishna appeared like this before them, the gopis were immediately expressed their love in a service. They fed him delicious foodstuffs, they decorated him with flowers, and they massaged his limbs, which they couldn't do when Krishna had lifted the Govardhan hill, because there were so many elders surrounding them. They were all under the hill. It was quite public there. So they massaged his limbs. Krishna stayed with them. But then he said, "My time has come. I hear another kirtan. I hear my sakas calling for me in the same way in which you have called and sung for me. True to my promise, Bhakta Vatsala, to be the friend of my devotees, I am now leaving." And the Kobi said, "No, we were separated so long from you. You stayed with us an entire night. Your sakas are out there calling, but how can you leave us?" And then Krishna said, "I will not leave you." And from his side,
manifested the beautiful deity of Haridev. Yes, thank you very much for remembering. Haridev manifested with four arms. But the gopis said, "This we cannot accept. You are always most clever. Let them have Haridev. We stay with you." No, like this. "You stay with us. You are ours. You belong to us now." Then Haridev began to walk towards the Sakas, and Krishna, I mean, it's the same, the idea is, we can't really say, it's the same Lord, but the whom they had thought was the deity started to move. It's very difficult to explain because it's the same. But you know what I wish to unperfectly express with words of this word. That Krishna, who had announced he wanted to leave, he stayed and became the deity and took four heads. The gopis immediately understood. Their beloved had offered them a way to meet him yet at another occasion. The elders of Vrindavan would object if the gopis meet Nandanandana Krishna with two heads, because they were married. But they would not object if they would worship every day the four-armed form of Lord Narayan. I wanted to express the four-armed form. He looks like Narayan. It's Krishna, but he looks like Narayan. So that is why the gopis each single day come to Haridev and chant and sing Haridev, sing before Haridev. It's a very important deity. He is a very important deity, and they can come there unimpeded, not criticized by their elders for meeting Krishna. Of course they meet Krishna, but he is with four arms. And in this way, Krishna fulfilled, always intelligently fulfills the desire of all his devotees by applying a Shakti which is making the impossible possible. You will never be disappointed with Krishna to solve your impossible problems, because he has that Shakti and he can do so. So, from that day on, the gopis came daily to serve the deity of Krishna, whom they called Haridev. They bathed him first, then they dressed him. They ornamented him in the same way in which they would ornament Krishna in the kunjas of Vrindavan. And they would feel some solace in during the time they were separated from Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood before or danced before this deity, remembering these and other pastimes. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "Haridev is an incarnation of Narayan, and his residence is on the western petal of the lotus of Mathura. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Haridev, he began to dance in ecstasy. His personal love and beauty amazed the priests to such a degree that they offered him a very good reception." We have seen that this temple is very friendly also to all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. When you go there, you will be welcomed. And it's a very important place for us. It is a very important place also to soothe maybe our own pangs of separation, where we feel so lost and forlorn sometimes that we feel God has forsaken and abandoned us, and we feel like a motherless child, no, without any future. Good. So we are preparing with these katas our attention on Krishna's outfit. We have heard so far amazing discussions of love. I want to sing to you with you now, not sing to you, but with you, a very nice loving song of which Prabhupada used to sing on a Srimati Radharani. It is who is the dearest of Krishna's devotee, the queen of the rasa dance, and the central figure of Kusum Sarova Leela and all Leelas here in Vrindavan. The song goes, O Radha. Oh, wonderful. You have put a picture. Wonderful. O Radha. Yes, no, it's just nice that I always say, O Radha, never stop saying Radha's name, but we are wanting the sound to come with this gesture. So beautiful, the song. Yes. Why should you not say, O Radha? O Radha, O beloved of Madhava, O you who are worshipped by all the young girls of Gokula, all glories unto you. All glories unto you. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Madala Mohite Radhe. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Madala Mohite. Damodarati Vadana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Brinda Vipineshe. Damodarati Vadana Veshe Hari Niskuta Brinda Davipineshe. Jai Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Madala Mohite. Jai Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Gokula
Vrishabhanu Dati Navashashileke Lolita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Vrishabhanu Dati Navashashileke Lalita Saki Guna Ramita Vishake. Karunam Kurumai Karuna Bharite Shanaka Shanatana Vanita Charite. Oh, Radhe Radhe Amada Vadaite Gokula Taruni Madala Mohite. Radhe Radhe Amada Vadaite Gokula Taruni Madala Mohite. Jai Radhe Jai Jai Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Madala Mohite. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
we have never practiced this melody better. We don't try. Hare Krishna.
These are the moments of where you can see that my knowledge of music is nil. Hare Krishna. I wanted to request you now to be doubly attentive. In one way, your attention should be what is said, but the other attention, the double attention, should be how can I use this for my life? See, when we hear these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going mad with ecstasy, or we talk about love of Godhead, when we hear about Srimati Radharani encountering Krishna and being just slightly touched by his hand, although he's disguised, being immediately stunned and motionless. We talk about love of Godhead. When we hear about the gopis calling, O Haridev, we talk about the same thing, love of Godhead. There is something which is necessary to be understood by those of you who think, okay, so much love of Godhead talk here on Govardhan Retreat, but let's be practical now. How will this happen to me? Will I ever experience even the beginning stages of this? And so on it. I would like to talk today about this a little bit. You can only attain Krishna by developing these loving emotions, or as Bhujan Prabhu explained, infusing your service, either in bhajan, when you do bhajan service, or when you do practical service. You need to infuse it with love. Like you put sugar in a tea and then the sugar dissolves and makes the whole tea sweet. You need to somehow come to the stage where in your devotional service you infuse it with some sprinkle of love, which then pervades it, makes your service sweet for Krishna to enjoy. Brahma did not know this, or did not do this. When he saw Krishna, he analyzed him, and he thought, in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, this comes, that when Krishna was dining with his cowherd boys and eating from the other, from the plates of the other cowherd boys, he was muchi. He was dirty, no clean, certainly not the origin of the Vedas, will eat from some local cowherd boys. He felt like this. And he wanted to test Krishna by analyzing his powers. You all know this Leela, it is often told, and after Krishna showed him that in fact from him emanate the form which Brahma worships, that is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the Vasudev, that if Krishna showed millions of Vasudev forms, here, see, this is the Lord whom you worship, it comes from me, then Brahma understood. Now, when Krishna had finished the meal, he went to a place called Brahmakund. It's a kund next to Haridev. You just need to go a few more steps up, and then you find the Brahmakund. And Brahma saw, Krishna is now going to wash his hands in this little pond. This is my chance to get the Mahaprasad of Krishna. And being somewhat of a magician who also knows the art of shape-shifting, do you know what this is? You come in one shape and then you go like, you do something and these are secrets of magicians, and then you change your shape. I don't know how to do this, nor am I interested to learn it. Just keep it. But it's shape shifting. Yogis can do it. They have these mystical potencies. So Brahma thought, my chance is Krishna is now going to this pond, washing his hands. And what I will do to make good of my offense, I will take the form of a fish. Jip! He was a little fish. And when Krishna put his hands down as if to wash them, Brahma was there waiting. And Krishna, who is the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead, saw his, and he took his hands back. He didn't yet want to give Brahma this type of mercy. He still wanted to give him the bitter mercy. So he went to another place, Manasaganga, and washed his hands there. Brahma could understand, I better don't change my shape again. Maybe this time he will take something and catch me and beat me on the ground. I better stay in a respectful distance. This coward boy is my lord, and I have done an offense. It's very bad. I better go and fall before him and a lonely spot and beg for forgiveness. And then he gave the prayers of Lord Brahma, which are there in the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's not... the reason I'm telling this is you cannot analyze Krishna. You can also not find a very clever method to reach Krishna like Brahma had designed. I just eat directly from the... You know, the Lord has eaten this and his fingers are full of this, so I'm getting this Mahaprasad and then Saptika, everything will be all right. You can't, there is not a method like this which you can cleverly design, even if you call it your particular version of Raganuga Bhakti. You have to please Lord Krishna by your loving service. That is all over the scriptures. That's how everything happens. And I would like to talk on this a little bit from the Leela perspective. Shukadev Goswami describes in text 19 of the 21st chapter of the 10th canto a particular outfit of Lord Krishna. Krishna Balaram carry it's called the Nir Yoga Pasha. It's a little rope which is not little, it's a rope like this, which is used by cowherd boys to bind the hind legs of the cows at the time of milking, so that out of temperament and nervousness or whatever, the cows don't kick them. These Nir Yoga means to tie very tightly, and Krishna and Balaram's Nir Yoga pashas have clusters of flowers and pearls at both ends. They're very, very beautiful. And sometimes out of playfulness, the Lord does not carry these robes around his shoulders where they leave a little indent. You know, Krishna's shoulder has a little sign, sometimes visible, of these robes which he carries. Sometimes out of playfulness, he adds it to his turban, which is already full with gunja berries, and there's a pink string of a saffron-colored string with white pearls, you know, going, and it's something, the turban of the Lord. He sometimes binds it around playfully. These robes are a sign of Krishna's attention for all living entities to tie them down with the rope of love. We have been wandering like cows who look for grasses. We have been wandering for the fresh sense objects, the very interesting forms of sense objects since time immemorial. We can only be saved if Lord Krishna binds us down by the ropes of his mercy. There's a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur who says, "O fish-like soul, O fish-like soul, why do you try to escape the net of mercy of Lord Chaitanya?" Lord Krishna wants to bind us down. You know, we at the moment we are bound by Maya. We need this other rope, not Maya's rope. We need the rope of mercy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says so nicely. By the fault of my own karma, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. How long must I struggle before I drown?
swimming and swimming, I cannot find the end of this ocean. The huge ocean of birth and death has no end. There's a beautiful poetic rendition by the French poet Victor, I have to now say it properly, Hugo. He compares the human being with a person who was in a storm on a boat, a big boat, but he has been washed from the boat. It is now surrounded by an element which is not his own, a dark sea with heaving waves. As he looks down, he sees only sea tank and sea monsters pulling him, and the boat with the light, the storm light, is disappearing in the horizon. The waves are crashing over his head, too loud that his screams can be heard by those on the boat. He says this is a situation of those who are falling away from the grace of others. They are drowning, meant to drown. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how long can I keep myself from drowning in this terrible ocean, cast away from the spiritual world, from Krishna's association? Well, that he doesn't say, that's my poetic addition. You know, but we feel like this sometimes. This huge ocean of birth and death has no end. Drowning, I'm screaming, someone save me! At that moment, Krishna, you came. I knew you could take me to the shore. The seed of hope was planted within me. O merciful Lord Krishna, now you have found me. O most merciful Lord, I will never leave you. O merciful Lord, now you have found Bhaktivinoda, who's worthless like a pile of ashes and who desperately needs your mercy. Watch this poetic expression, worthless like a pile of ashes. What can you do with ashes? You can't ignite a fire. A spark will not find nourishment there. It's just in the way and has to be discarded. So this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about himself. I'm just in the way. I have to be forsaken. And I'm indeed forsaken. So now only my thousands of sadhanas don't work. Your causeless mercy is all. And Narottamdas Thakur says what he needs. Do you know when you drown in an ocean and then you need a ship, but that's not enough. You need a rope which they put down. Best is a rope, they call it a rope ladder. Do you have this in English language? Rope ladder, and a seil leiter. A rope ladder you need. But at least a rope in lesser equipped ships will do. A ship alone is not enough. A rope is required. Narottamdas Thakur gives this example. I'm imprisoned, forlorn in this formidable ocean of material existence. Kindly pick me up with the rope of your mercy. Kripa Dhore Bandhi. After a great deal of distress, says Narottamdas, you mercifully took me to Braj, but your illusory energy forcibly untied the rope of compassion. You know, you have the rope in your hands, but then it's untied and again placed me into the material existence. This is for all those who fly tomorrow to Germany. There are some devotees who have to leave early and they fly back. For those of you who fly back to America or Brasilia or wherever, take note of this. After a great deal of distress, Krishna, you mercifully, took me to Braj. You are now here, but your illusory energy placed a ticket in my hand and forcibly untied, this is a new interpolation, forcibly untied the rope of compassion and again placed me into material existence. Please, therefore, again be merciful to this fallen person and pick me up to your abode of Braj, pulling me by my hair. This is the only hope of my life. Otherwise, I'm ruined. Thus prays Narottam. This is very important. We have some Krishna conscious experiences here, or some of us are maybe still unconscious on the ship and we think they are drowning, but de facto you are sitting in Lord Krishna's pastime place where he is present, so you are in a way saved. If you are conscious about this or if you are still under post-traumatic stress and not conscious about it, let us not leave. When you leave Vrindavan, you should not leave. This is a merciful place. Take some udipans with you, which will awaken your Vrindavan consciousness so that at least when you're in the West, you can stay on the boat of Vrindavan Dham. You can stay in the spiritual atmosphere. When someone binds Krishna with the robe of love, which is what Braj Bhakti is all about, Braj Bhakti is nothing else than binding Krishna with the robe of love. Everyone here does so in all the rasas. Then Krishna becomes responsive. Krishna sees when we do some loving devotional service, and he is bound by this. In the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, I will give you the quotation, because I will give it to you afterwards, because you first have to decide if you want to read this verse in your private reading time. So you have to hear it. We hear about how the devotee binds Krishna by the robe of love. Krishna can give this robe of love to the devotee who is calling out for him, and Krishna is, in other words, binding the devotee or saving the devotee with his robe of love. But Krishna himself also becomes bound by this love of the devotee. Vishyati hridayam nayasya sakshat dari avashabhito pyago ganasha pranaya rasanaya dritangi patma sabhavati bhagavata pradhana ukta. Can you hear? Will you hear? It's a very nice verse. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees, does not leave the hearts of his devotees, even if they remember him and chant about him inattentively. This is because the robe of love always binds the Lord within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. Would you like to know the quotation where it is from? Yes. 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 55. 11 to 55.
the verse says that the devotees have actually a means to bind Krishna if they remember him and chant about him, even inattentively. In the Bhagavatam, it said how the Lord felt when Ajamil, on his deathbed, called his son, Ajamil's son, Narayan. The moment he called Narayan, thank you. Was this because you were cruelly awakened by me, or I'm sometimes insecure here? After the third day, we are a little bit tired. I know, I'm also like this. Yeah. Anyways, the Lord says, Ajamil called for me. Ajamil called for his son. But I could do this if I would call out now, Ravi. This Ravi has immediately nodded, but I didn't mean you. I meant Ravi Lochan. And I said in a like becoming friends. Sometimes a nickname can be given amongst friends. But you nodded your head because you felt he must be meaning me. So Lord Narayan is so lovingly bound to his devotees that even if they think of someone else, he goes, yes, it's me. This is the means which devotees have. Chanting the Lord's names, even if you do it like one of our devotees did today. I had discussed with him earlier. He chanted and you saw him nodding and falling asleep. The Lord will think this devotee has come all the way from a different country and he chants my holy name. So he feels addressed and bound to the devotee. This is what the verse says. And I was very, very much bewildered. Why even inattentively? You know, in our japa retreat, we say, connect, chant with attention, control your mind, Prabhus. Be space in, don't space out. And we say it in millions of ways. But why? And here the verse says, even if we chant about this, about him inattentively. He does not leave the devotee who does like this. What is it in the Lord? And I was reading the Bhagavatam after Kartik. And during Kartik also a little bit, but after Kartik with full strength. And there is a verse which also amazed me. It shows how Krishna is so responsive even to imperfect bhakti that it is amazing. There is a verse which says, Natatame priyatama atma yoni na shankaraha na cha sankashano na shriya. It's always na, 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 na. Naivatma again, na cha yatabhavan. He says, neither Lord Brahma is as dear to me as you, nor Lord Shiva is as dear to me as you, nor Lord Shankar-san is as dear to me as you, nor the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you. And why Uddhava? Uddhava says Sanatana Goswami in this verse, represents all of Krishna's devotees. Why? The devotees can say, my Lord, why do you feel I'm more dear to you than Lord Shiva or Brahma or Lord Sankarshan? He's your brother, or the goddess of fortune. And the reason is given by Sanatana Goswami. One reason why the Supreme Lord speaks like this is that although his eternal associates Sankarshan, Mahalakshmi, and so on, are ever established in unflickering devotion. They underwent no tribulations to gain it, whereas his new devotees in the material world have sacrificed all comforts and security to gain pure devotional service. For the trouble such devotees have taken, Lord Krishna is especially grateful. Besides this, the Lord wants to encourage all his devotees to surrender themselves more fully. So, this is one level of understanding this verse. Lord Krishna is lovingly inclined to the devotees who struggle. But you might say, well, this refers to the devotees who struggled and achieved perfection. It does not refer to me who struggle and struggle and struggle and remain stuck where I am. You are wrong, so wrong. Krishna feels so much inclined to the devotees. He's such a loving God who just struggle for his sake that he quickly becomes moved to remove the obstacles if they just continue and gives them bhakti. That is his nature. This is how loving the Lord is. And therefore, my dear devotees, even if you struggle and struggle and struggle, you have a right to call out for the Niyoga Pasha, the robe of mercy, which always hangs around Krishna's shoulder or is around his turban, is always within hand's reach, in other words, of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord, you have a right. Because Madhavendra, who is the founder of this Saint Madhva? Madhvacharya, thank you. Never become old, then you will be embarrassed by, you can't remember even your own name at one stage. And anyway, that's not so important, that's the least important, but important names you can't. Madhvacharya, he said, this when he described the mercy of the Lord, that the Lord is very inclined to his devotees who struggle in the material world. Shiva and Sankarshan, especially Sankarshan and Mahalakshmi, they don't struggle. They are perfected souls. But the Lord thinks, my devotees are not, but they are trying like little children. And he gave Madhvacharya, in order to make us understand the mind and heart of the Lord, gives an amazing example. The example of a rich man who sees a beggar with pus wounds before his door begging. And he looks out of the window and he sees this ill or diseased beggar begging, knowing that only he has a few more days maybe to live. And the rich man's sense of mercy is awakened. He knows, if this man doesn't get my mercy, he is doomed. He cannot survive on his own. So he calls inside the kitchen, is there something to eat, please? And he gives the food which was meant for him and his children to the beggar before the door. Don't you sometimes feel when you see these beggars stopping you on Govardhan Parikrama and they're so thin and they're so needy and you feel... And they stop you, and you know after Govardhan Parikrama you will eat a feast with seven preparations, and you will bathe your feet in hot water with good feet salt, and then you will oil it with mustard seed oil, and the skin will become extremely smooth. And then you see this beggar asking for something to survive the day, then you feel, all right, so what do we have here?
And then you feel, you give him what you have. You give him your bananas, which you have protected against the monkeys. And here, may you live, may you live. You give him your energy muesli bar and show him how to open it and chew it thoroughly and so on. Because he has reached something in your heart. His helplessness and hopelessness has reached you. So this is our Lord Krishna with his Niryoga Pasha, with his robes of mercy. Never forget that although we may not be qualified, asked for the mercy of the Lord, which is always near his hands. Sanatana Goswami, this will be my last verse, says, your wonderful mercy is ancient and eternal, but also ever new and fresh. What he wants to say is you have given it in the ancient time to people like Ajamil. It's ancient, and it's eternal means it's continuous, it goes on. And it's ever new and fresh. It means it's also for modern times. It's also there in modern times. To your mercy, again and again, I offer my obeisances forever. This is what I wanted to tell your tired brains this morning and share with you. It's a thorough conviction which we have here at the Govardhana Retreat Center. We feel if we can invite devotees to the sacred land of Giriraj and flood their consciousness with the holy name and find Krishna Katha, that the devotees will feel inspired and call out for the mercy of the Lord. And it is known that the Lord always has these robes of mercy with which he can lift us fallen souls out of the heaving ocean of material existence, where lust, greed, and anger and enviousness are like alligators and killer whales who are out to hunt us down. The Lord can lift us out. When you hear about the love of the Lord displayed, and when you hear from the Katha, you might think this is a realm which is so high. Does the love of the Lord reach down to me? Yes, he has a robe of mercy in Nir Yoga Pasha. It's very long. It can reach down to you, and you can grab it and be saved. And I believe coming here to Govardhan and staying here is a sign that somehow and somewhere you have called out for the Lord, and he had thrown you a rope and pulled you here so that you can stay here and almost passively absorb the wonderful mercy of the Lord, which manifests in adbhuta ways for those who sincerely want it. Let us not be like Brahma, analyzing, trying to understand, finding our tricky ways to move forward. Let us really try to infuse our little seva, our little chanting, with some gratitude, some love, which will bind the Lord and induce or convince him in a way to lower the rope of mercy down to us as we are struggling and wondering how long until I will sink in the ocean of mercy. Now, I personally carry this conviction with me, and I want to now get a little bit out of the robe of an official lecturer and add some personal conviction. What I have personally seen over the years being at the side of Giriraj, and that the moment, please excuse me, that never get old, I can only say one more. The moment you're really eager and you bring your case to the Lord, that moment the Lord becomes active and does some, makes the impossible possible. This is expressed in a Brijbasi song, which describes what you should do when you are next to Govardhan. Now it gets very Brijbasi. Fasten your seat belts. I'm saying, now the love of these Brijbasis will spill out. Please, the song says, please reside in the foothill of Govardhan. This is what you're doing here. This is the foothill. Huh? Please rise up every day and take the dust of Madan Gopal's lotus feet to your heart. So you go and then you bring your the dust and bring it to your heart. When you will do this, you will taste the real ecstasy. Get up. Become a dust brother or a dust sister. Become stamped with some first-class dust. Then, I'm not saying this is Brijbasa. I'm not saying the ISKCON devotees should all do this, but this is how the song goes. Then you should roll down in the Braj Rast, and then you should take a snan in Sri Govindakund. You know, afterwards, you should take a bath in Govindakund. At that time, this is now where I want to put an exclamation mark. Please listen. At that time, whatsoever you have in your heart, you should reveal it as it is to Lord Giridhari. Jai Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. In other words, reveal what is in your heart. Talk to the Lord about your aspiration. Talk to him about the gap and how you cannot bridge the gap between what you are and what you aspire for. And he will use his Agatana Gatana Shakti, this Shakti which makes impossible possible, and everything will work. Prabhupada, he said this in our movement. This is a movement where impossible is not a word which we use. Because we can always go to the Lord and ask him for help, and he can make everything possible. This is why impossible does not exist. For you, so many things are impossible, but for Krishna, nothing is impossible. This is the land of love, the land, you know, where Krishna is especially merciful to the pilgrims, because we have visited him at his home place. So I'm saying this because tomorrow is your day to fly a bit on your own. Tomorrow, you know, a retreat means there should also be a time to retreat, to you know, not this program. So tomorrow is your time to retreat. I would recommend you for tomorrow to see on the map there are some very first-class Vaishnavas who offer some workshops. Maybe it's good to take maybe one of these things, but then stay for yourself, stay in your room. Some of you will need a little bit to rest, I can see, and others can just chant. The roof is a very monkey-safe place to chant, as many of you know, but we have monkey guards there who know the monkey language and chase them away if necessary. So please be a little bit for yourself. Whatever is in your heart, tell it as it is to Giriraj and beg for mercy. And it will be given. It will be a permanent installment in your life. So please use that that day. We have the holy name days, we have Bhagavat Katha days, which we do. But tomorrow is the begging for mercy day. It is something which will make a change in your life for your best. Thank you very much for attending this. Although you are tired, I wish you all the best. I will end here, and we have still a few minutes for two questions or one question. Please don't be shy. Hare Krishna. Kavi Chandra. Kavi Chandra, isn't it? Kavi Chandra, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for your class, Maharaj.
Oh, it can be better.
I wanted to ask you a question about, you was mentioning Lord Brahma, how he tries to kind of go around and get Krishna's mercy in clever ways.
Yeah.
So many times, doing parikrams, you receive Mahaprasadam and things like that. And sometimes you just take it unconsciously. So my question is, how much benefit do you get from that? Compared to when you take it consciously.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for your question. Somehow you get the mercy also in the holy dharms when you are unconscious. There is a verse in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya where it says, even if you're in Mayapur sleeping, it is counted as dandavat. I think this is often quoted in ISKCON, this verse, because it's extremely hope-giving. And but when we hear attention, fix your mind, be conscious, then we think next lifetime. So there is certainly benefit also by unconscious practice, but the benefit is much, much more when we are conscious in doing it, because we are engaging not just the body, but additionally the king of all the senses, the mind, in the service. Ultimately, you must know, devotee means not something external. Devotee means the mind. And you have to make the mind the devotee. Man mana bhama bhakto. Devotee means the mind. You cannot avoid the mind if you want to become a devotee. That's the first instruction of Lord Krishna. Man, how to become a devotee. You need to engage your mind. And when you look through our scriptures, it says, always one who has his mind and intelligence fixed in me. Always think of me, never forget me. That's the essence of devotional service. But still, Krishna is so merciful. If he sees us mindless, in Bosnian they say, Balkan language, I'm like a fly without a head. You know, and sometimes you have flies without head. That means mindless. They fly around. They can fly for a few days, but then they will die. So a devotee can do mindless devotional service for some time, but if he doesn't switch on the mind, he will die like that fly without the head. It is all right. Krishna is merciful to us. And where would we be, Kavi Chandra? My mind is so heavy, so strong, like the wind, you know. A raging wind, it cannot be controlled so easily. If you engage your body in active devotional service, you will come to the point where the mind will get some idea, and you will start to ask questions, and you will start to think, and you're doing this already. Good. We have 12 o'clock. I will finish on time because I see my audience is tired and I don't want to be cruel. I see my audience does also many other things while being in this lecture. Hare Krishna. May you have a wonderful day and may you prepare yourself nicely for tomorrow. Hare Krishna.